welcome to the 75th episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your once and future host, Triforce Todd, and joining me today is the always eccentric Wario Will.
Deck the halls of House of Bunny, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, tis the season to be happy, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Oh, gosh. I didn't get the joke until I heard to be hoppy.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Yeah. And, of course, the co-host with the most, who still owes me $20, tell you, Tyler.
Yeah, that $20 is coming. It's in the
mail. You
said
that 2 podcasts ago.
It's in the mail. Just like the investigation results for the Splatfest.
Oh, come on! It's our anniversary. Lay off. All right, but anyway, this is indeed our 75th episode. We've been very happy to have been coming to you for 75 episodes. It's been a lot of fun. And we are going to have some fun at the end, but we do need to talk about some business first. So we're going to get started with, what have you been playing? And we're going to keep this really short, because two of us honestly haven't been playing anything new, but one of us has. I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, Will's been playing Yakuza, but Tyler has been playing a new game. Take it away, Tyler.
Right, I've been playing Kirby Star Allies it came out, I believe, last Friday.
Yes,
and
Friday.
It's pretty good. It's definitely not a super life-altering Kirby game. There's not too many that are. Although, it just like every other Kirby game that's come before it, it's really, really good. It's a lot of fun. But I highly recommend playing it with somebody. Like, playing it solo is definitely not nearly as fun as playing with a friend. This game is so easy. Like, Kirby games are always easy. This game is so easy. Like, you can't possibly die. Like, there's a running joke on the internet of people purposefully trying to get game overs because it's the hardest thing to do in the game. Wow. You start out with 1,000,000 lives, and by the time you're in World 3, you'll have, 100 some. it's just, there's no challenge at all. There's no threat of death ever. Except for, actually, I take that back. I've died a few times, and it's because I cannot, for the life of me, get the fact that A is jump and B is attack. In my head, it should be flipped. And I know that you can change the tight or the control somehow, but for some reason, I can't figure out how. So I've been suffering with that. But outside of my little nitpick on the fact that the default controls make no sense and it's hard to die, the environments are really, really cool. I mean, there's nothing that you haven't totally seen before. But it's a nice spin on everything. The worlds all feel fresh. The way the game kind of scales in scope is fascinating, too. You start out in just, like, dreamland in, like, a field, and that's the world map, which, unfortunately, you'll notice the frame. It's 30 frames per second. You notice that big time. I never thought I would recognize something like that, but I absolutely, in the overworld maps, the 30 frames per second is definitely takes a notch off visual polish. Still, when you're in the game, it's not nearly as bad, and the worlds are so pretty that it won't affect you at all. But you're in Dreamland, and then you zoom out to Popstar, Planet Popstar, where Dreamland is, and then you zoom out again to, like, the spaceship that's crashed into Popstar, and then you zoom out again to, like, the universe. And it's cool how that world map evolves. Yeah. So it gives you a real good sense of progression. Obviously, the big draw is being able to play as the Allies, giving Kirby his teammates and mismatching their powers, and that works fantastically. I know me and my younger brother were playing this together, and we had our favorites for sure. He loved the snowman because the snowman just like is a snowman. Is a snowman.
Do you want a bit of snowman?
Yeah, it's just like. Is a snowman that can jump forever for some reason, and it looks kind of goofy. But we always had Bonkers. Of course, you have to have Bonkers
Bonkers.
Of your guys. So when Bonkers perished, that was a sad day for us. He, God rest in peace, the spinning giant blade of death. He just kept walking right into it. He couldn't help it. Yeah, rest in peace, Bonkers. But yeah, so there's a lot to like, and you see people online all the time having their own favorites. A lot of people like Chef Kozlowski.
Kobayashi.
Yeah, that's right, I said it wrong. Getting the allies that you want together is a lot of fun. Now, as player one, I played as Kirby most of the time, and I was totally fine with that. I love playing as Kirby. However, I do think that there's a benefit to having player two, to being player two in this, where the real hook of the game is the allies themselves. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing as Kirby, it really just felt like I was playing through an easier Return to Dreamland. But having those extra people, you know, being able to play as Knuckle Joe is a thrill. I mean, my younger brother couldn't get enough of being the Alice. He didn't want to be Kirby.
Quick question. Like, yeah. Is Knuckle Joe still broken as ever?
Yeah, Knuckle Joe is still great. He's still great.
Hit the dive kick, man. It's the dive kick.
Yeah, he's so strong. He's definitely probably the most effective ally besides maybe Bonkers. Hammer is such a classic power. Yeah, so I mean, overall, it's really, really fun. Definitely recommend with friends. Solo, it's still good, but it's not captivating. Your fun is going to be the interaction that you have with the people that you're playing with, rather than just the game itself. The game itself is really good. It's not. I don't mean to say if this is, you know, you're not going to play this with friends, don't buy it. However, I would caution you. It's $60. And the story mode is kind of short. Like, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm at the very, very end. There are four worlds, and there's a lot of levels in those worlds. There's more than your usual Kirby game. I think there's usually six. I think there's seven or eight levels in each of these worlds. But it's $60 is expensive, so maybe you try to get it on sale. I know Nintendo games don't really go on sale that often. It's definitely worth $60 if you have somebody to play with. I would highly recommend it. Me and my younger brother love playing Kirby games together, and this one's no exception. It definitely stands out from the Kirby games with the fact that you can play as the allies, and it has that Kirby Crystal Shards kind of ability combo thing mixed in. I don't think the ability combos are quite as cool or fleshed out as they were in 64. They usually, like, you know, you hold your sword up and then you'll get a flaming sword, but sometimes you'll see something really cool and creative with, like, the more obscure powers, like sumo. You can just start chucking your friends around, which is great. But yeah, overall I definitely recommend it, especially if you have a friend to play with. It's a really good game. I don't know if it's as good as Return to Dreamland or Triple Deluxe or Planet Robobot, but it's right there. I mean, all four of those, I would say, are pretty close together. They're all great games, and if you like Kirby, you'll like Star Allies a lot.
Crystal Shards for life.
I agree that Crystal Shards is pretty much the best one. But, like, the one thing I've been seeing about Star Allies is that same good old Kirby charm. It's just colorful. It's happy. Literally happy. It's like, again, it's Kirby. Like, you're gonna have fun. It's just cheerful. You know, you can't really get the press when you're playing a Kirby game, to say the least.
That's
a game. You can't get the press. So, again, it's not like Dark Souls, which is a doom gloom, while you just want to play an easy game like Kirby. So, yeah, that's one thing about Kirby, because, again, it has that charm. It's, like, a very, very good game if you just want to be, again, happy.
The music is great too. The music.
Oh, yeah. Kirby's always got great music.
Yeah. This again has a couple songs that are, like, really just high quality, and they capture that joyous Kirby feel that you know and love. So.
Yeah, I've made it known that I, you know, if I ever worked for Nintendo, you know, again, Nintendo hire me. I now have done 75 podcasts, technically more, of Nintendo. Why haven't I been hired yet? I'm just saying. And you guys can be hired too, I suppose. No, but if I did ever work for Nintendo, I always said I would want to work on a Fire Emblem game. But in truth, I also want to work on a Kirby game. I would want to make, I guess you could call it, a spiritual successor to Crystal Shards, because I don't have a name in my mind. Honestly, I thought about, like, Triple Deluxe, but then I was taken, so dang it. But I wanted to make it so you have, like, even more abilities to combine powers like you did in Crystal Shards, because that was the best part of the game, when you could put, like, electricity and rock together, and you had this magnetic rock thing that could just bounce back and forth and kill everything it touches. That was awesome. Or becoming the Flame Swordsman. That was awesome. Or becoming a refrigerator. Okay, not quite as awesome, but, you know, still.
Hey, you guys should become Darth Maul. In Star Wars.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, my gosh, I remember that. But I would love to make a giant Kirby game that feels like Crystal Shards, but has, you know, a lot of the modern amenities. I make it bigger levels, bigger world, you know, all that stuff, because Kirby is just fun. Kirby is so much fun. If I wasn't going through what I was going through in my life right now, I would be playing I'd be playing Star Allies with Tyler. Okay? Because I love Kirby. I really do. Kirby's Epic Yarn was one of the cutest games I've ever played.
Yeah.
Crystal Shards I've loved forever. I've played numerous Kirby. Kirby was a big part of my original Game Boy experience. Kirby's Nightmare in Dream Land, Kirby Pinball, a lot of them. Then, of course, up to GBA and all of them. So Kirby's a big part of my life. So I'm glad to hear that this Kirby game is as good as previous entries.
Yeah, again, there's really not really much said about
No,
it.
apparently
Again,
not. But except
it's
for Tyler, you will have your review up soon, correct?
Yes. You hold my feet to the fire on that.
I oh, we will. We
Hey, I
won't we?
published my Smash Bros. Article. That was
You did, and I'm proud of you. I am proud of you, but I'm more thinking of the last time you said you were going to review a game, which was Celeste.
No, I didn't say
Yes, you
that.
did.
No, I know I
Yes,
did.
you did.
Celeste,
Yes,
I
you
give
did.
Celeste a 10 out
I
of
have
10.
the footage, Tyler.
I give Celeste a 10 out of 10. It is one of the best games I've ever played, and if you haven't played it yet, you need to. Okay, I did it. So I kept my word.
Fine. All right, but yeah, so now that we got that out of the way, there is some news we've got to get to because it's been kind of interesting what's happened this week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And I want to get us started off with the Nindies because Nintendo has now officially held their second Nindies showcase in the Switch era, which is honestly very impressive. But much like last year's, this year's focus on a few key games that are going to be coming our way this year, including some that are coming very soon. In fact, they revealed 14 different indie games, which is actually quite a lot. Let's see, I'm looking at the article I wrote up right now. We got Mark of the Ninja and Luminous getting
Yeah, Lumis.
remastered for the Switch. That's pretty cool. You got Adult Swim coming in with Pool Panic. It's Adult Swim, what can I say? Let's see. Then there's let's see. Oh yeah, The Messenger. I feel like this is one of those you would like, Will, like with a
Yes, The
eight.
Messenger
This
was
thing is very
great.
Ninja Gaiden-esque.
Oh yeah.
Like very Ninja Gaiden-esque, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. It reminded me a lot of Shovel Knight. The idea of transitioning between 8-bit and 16-bit was
Yeah.
like so cool. I wish Shovel Knight had that.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's what got me going. I was like, wow, it's 8-bit. That's really good 8-bit. Like, oh my gosh, you're turning into 16-bit. What have you done? So, oh, that's what it reminds me of. Mario Maker.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, where you can switch the resolution bit. That's pretty cool. And there was Garage, which I bring up just because even Nintendo admitted it was gory, which is now two directs in a row where they've had like a very mature game being shown off. So, props to Nintendo. Yeah. Bomb Chicken.
Oh,
Okay.
yes.
That was great because they literally, the people who made this game basically just said that the chicken is going after KFC.
Oh, yes, going
Yeah.
out there. Yes,
I
saving
think they
all
said it was like,
chicken
I think
kind.
it was like KBC in this game. They're like, oh wow, I wonder where they got that name from. Yeah. So, the only thing that could have made it better is if the chicken's name was Cuckoo.
And now by the egg puns.
There you go. Another, an odder title was West of Loathing.
Yeah, that looked
It's currently out on PC
amazing.
right now. There's
It
currently
is?
Let's Plays out on YouTube, I believe. Yeah, I think it's
It's
currently
on
out on the
Steam right
PC.
now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But it's
So.
coming console exclusive to Switch.
That's
Yeah,
interesting. And
yes.
Pool Panic is also exclusive to Switch, which is interesting. So, yeah. And then here's one I actually really liked, which was Just Shapes and Beats. Because
Yeah,
it
that
was
was
like
surprising.
that musical platformer game, which I like the musical games. I mean, I loved Guitar Hero when I got it, and I played Rock Band where I could. I didn't have it, but I played it where I could. And these are like I love these kinds of games because they're simple. Okay, this one isn't simple apparently because it's actually very hard. But I love that creative mindset where they're like, let's make a musical platformer game. I'm like, okay. And then Lightfall.
That's my number one, I would
Yeah.
say. Lightfall looked like Celeste meets Limbo, I saw somebody say, and I agree 100%. Like you're this kid who's running around these dark environments, and you have like a block on your back, and you can place the block down while you're in mid-jump to like help you maneuver. It seemed really, really fun. I mean,
Oh yeah.
obviously I'll have to wait until it comes out to really judge, but that comes out in spring. That was definitely my most intriguing game.
I was just I
And
saw like I saw them do like that Rolodex of awards things, and I was like, what game is this? Because I honestly hadn't heard of it before. But now that I have, I'm like, dang, that's very impressive. Anything to add, Will?
Yeah, actually, I was about to like go on to our next game because like I'm also just seeing the last bit of the trailer.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you said, there's also gonna be coming to the Switch is Reigns, Kings and Queens, which also will be including both DLC. I think
Right.
one DLC. Yes, for
Yes,
which
one deal.
again. And of course, this one's kind of appeals to you fighting fans is there's gonna be Phantasy Strike,
Yeah.
which I don't know if you love fighting games, this is like very reminiscent. It reminds me a little bit of Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
To say the least, like again,
And
very
like,
colorful, but
no, go ahead.
yeah, it reminds me much of Killer Instinct, but a much more colorful scheme. Yeah.
I like that they have like different elements that affect the gameplay. Like there's time and gravity and wind. It's very. I think what we need to do is make a list of every single fighting game that has come out in this on the Switch in over a year. We're in like
True, true, true.
1 year and let's see, came out on the
Right,
third
and if
one.
I
One
remember,
year and 3 weeks, we have like what 10 fighting games on the Switch?
quite surprised. Yeah, it's very impressive, and it's gonna be
And
coming
none
more
of the
soon.
biggest ones. No Dragon Ball FighterZ or Mortal or Injustice 2 or.
Don't remind me, okay? I'm still bitter about Dragon Ball FighterZ.
And so I remember actually like seeing one of the characters in Phantasy Strike. This is like actually one character actually literally stops time,
Yeah,
which,
I love it.
jeez, how
I
JoJo
love
can you be?
it.
Rather be Kenshiro. Moving on. Then you got there was some strategy titles like Bad North
That thing
and
actually was actually interesting, I see.
Yeah.
Like, again, setting up your troops, reminiscent of like Vikings invading. Again, it's like a very tower defense kind of game, but again, you use your units. It's, I don't know, very intriguing.
Its
There was.
art style didn't draw me in. I felt I
Yeah,
was a little off put by its art.
it did look a little simplistic, I won't lie.
Hey, it's not about the graphics, man.
Oh, okay. It sometimes isn't about the graphics. Okay?
Yeah,
Sometimes.
and like some like a little brief teaser video, the graphics go a long way
Yeah, oh
towards
yeah.
making an impression.
Yeah. Let's see. Then there was a Pwned, which was
That looked good.
yeah. And but then just when he thought like Nintendo couldn't pull any more bombshells, we're getting the Banner Saga. Holy. I did not see this coming. There was no rumors about this coming, but we're getting all three Banner Saga games, and apparently, like some, I didn't hear this in the presentation, but some people are saying we're gonna get Banner Saga 3 first.
That's what seems to be implied in the trailer because again, like since this is the first presentation
Yeah.
of Banner Saga 3, it seems to imply that yeah, it's gonna be like probably like the whole time exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm sort of
So,
feeling that.
yeah, like that's huge, and then we're getting the first two games soon, which. We're obviously gonna get them before Banner Saga 3 comes out because they're gonna want to use that for like promotion and whatnot, to kind of like what they did with Bayonetta and whatnot. But like, I have a friend named his name is Blaine. We used to do podcasts together, and he like loves this series. Like, he told me about the Banner Saga, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Then I heard about, and then I wrote about Banner Saga 2 and what happened with that, and then Banner Saga 3 bouncing back, and this is the end of the series. And so this is arguably one of the greatest RPGs. Trilogies. I know 3 hasn't come out yet, but like this is one of the greatest RPG series of like the last 10 years, because it's that deep, it's that story rich. Every choice matters. Like, you know, life, death, it happens for real here. You know, this game is awesome, and I'm probably gonna get it now that it's coming to Switch. So I'm really looking forward to this.
It's a definite buy for me too. You know, the way you're talking about it though, I feel like I'm ignorant because I didn't know this was even a thing. Like, I'm looking
Okay.
at all the reviews and it's got incredible reviews on Steam
Here's
and
how it
IGN.
happened. The first game came on. It's being made by Stoic, and then the first game came on Kickstarter, and it just blew up. Like, it was a massively successful Kickstarter, and the game was just as good as advertised. But then the developer got a little big-headed, and they said, "Hey, let's just fund the second game ourselves. What could possibly go wrong?" And it didn't go as well. The game was still good, but like they had a lot of issues because they realized that they had made a mistake not going back to Kickstarter. So then with the third one, they went back to Kickstarter, had another massive success, and now everything seems to be on track for a great game. It's okay if you didn't hear it. Again, I only knew it because of my friend Blaine, and then I would find news about it and report it on the various sites I work for. So, but this is a very powerful game. And so when it comes out to Switch, I definitely recommend it to you both.
Yeah, I'm
Like
definitely gonna grab
I've
it.
definitely like seen the previews and other like people, YouTubers, like, definitely playing out this game. Again, like, from what, like, seeing the screenshots, like, yeah, as I said, this, your decisions will matter. That, like, you, if you do not prepare for the long, it's really about, like, balancing the short term versus long term. Like, people will die.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're gonna mourn that death for the entire trilogy.
Yeah.
Which is, oh man.
True.
You thought Mass Effect had some choices. Come on, play this game.
Well, it did for the first two games. Oh! So, no, but I recommend it because, Tyler, I know you like strategy, you like deep gameplay, and, you know, stories that go along with it. And Will, I recommend it for you because I'm sure you'll find a waifu. Yeah. I'm just
don't
I'm
talk
just,
to Will that way.
I'm just oh, I will talk to Will that way, and he knows exactly why.
I'm standing up for Will. Hashtag free Will.
Free Will. Well, that
nice,
could be taken
nice,
a lot of
nice,
different
nice,
ways.
Nice. All
right, sticking with the indies. At GDC, like literally hours after the presentation of the Nindie showcase, Nintendo revealed the top 10 best-selling indie games on the Switch. To be clear, this goes from March 3rd, 2017 to March 5th, 2018. So a year's worth of indie games, which there were many. Here is the top 10. Okay, I'm going to go 10 up. Number 10, Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. I bought that. Ooh. I bought that. Number 9, a surprise for all of us, NBA Playground.
I was stunned. I was really interested in this game, but I heard it wasn't that good, so I skipped it.
The Switch version was terrible. And then they had to, like, do, like, a redo, update, rebuy
thing.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. They had to release, like, a pro version of it. Like, it's a different, slightly different title.
Yeah, so, like, but still, I guess apparently it did well enough. Number 8, Overcooked Special Edition.
Oh, that's a nice game. That's
I've heard a lot about this game, so I'm not surprised. Here's one that I heard about, but I didn't realize was on the Switch. Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, my, our boss Keith reviewed this game back in ways while back we're playing on the PC, I believe.
Yeah.
And if you love your shoot 'em ups with, like, good art, little RPG elements, this is a game for you. Again, random generated dungeons, shoot 'em up, shoot 'em ups. It's a very great game, to say the least, if you read our boss's review.
Yeah, number 6, Golf Story.
Not surprised there. I still need to grab that one. That looked great.
What makes me happy is like this game and certain other ones, you know, they came out later in the year. Like, this was like mid last year, so it's
Golf Story came out, I think, in end of summer, middle of summer.
Let me look it up. I mean, like, I remember when that was announced. Oh my gosh, September 28th.
So second, and it's pretty much the end of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty impressive that did that well. I mean, I remember when that was announced at one of those Nintendo Directs. I'm like, someone seriously just make a golf RPG? Apparently they liked it. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, it's a Mario Golf like spin-off kind. I mean, not spin-off obviously, but
here's one of my favorites. Here's one of my favorites. Fast RMX at number 5.
I just call it Fast Remix, but
fair enough. I forgot we could call it that. Fine, Fast Remix. And this, if we can be completely honest with ourselves, this is proof that an F-Zero game would sell. Come on, Nintendo.
I know, the signs are here. How much more neon signs you need us to give you?
Fast RMX really benefited from being a release title, too.
Agreed.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and that says a lot, because think about it, that it was a release title, and you can say, oh, well, it had a year to do all this. There are some games above it that were released a lot later, including one that came out this year. Mm-hmm. So that says something, that it sold that much to still be in the top five. It was number 5. So yeah, that's very impressive, and again, proof that an F-Zero game would sell. Come on, Nintendo.
Aye.
All right, number 4, Tyler's favorite indie game, Celeste.
And this time it's not a joke. It is my favorite indie game and my favorite games of all time.
I did not say it as a joke. I said it because I knew it was true. And this came out on January 25th. So in literally less than 2 months, it made it to the number 4 spot on this list.
Yeah, I was watching I'm trying to remember. I think it's Austin John. Oh, sorry, I can't remember who was the developer for some reason. I'm blanking on it. But the guy was doing a talk on the development of the game, and just hearing how he created the world of Celeste was just fascinating to hear his thought process. It really like made me rethink how to create things. It was so cool. It's really, really well done. Matt makes games.
Yeah. And again, they made this game and they said we gotta have it on Switch. And I'm pretty sure they said that it sold the best on Switch, so
it did.
Yeah. So that's awesome that it did, and now it's at number 4. So that's pretty cool. Number three, Cameco. I honestly don't remember this game, but I'm looking at it now and it looks vaguely familiar. It came out April 13th of last year. So Fly High Works. I mean, it's like an 8-bit retro game, 18-bit, 16-bit retro game. So
okay.
Apparently somebody liked it. So, you know, hey, props to you, Cameco. Nice job. Number two. Okay. Are we really surprised that Stardew Valley is number two?
I am not
it's
surprised.
Stardew Valley.
No. I'm surprised it's not number one. Number one is definitely a great game, but Stardew Valley.
So, but yeah, like I have never played Stardew Valley, but I know people. Okay, this is not a joke. I worked at a hospital for over a year, and my boss's name was Jane, and she was 40 something, you know, give or take. She would talk to me about what she did in Stardew Valley over the weekend. I'm like, you play Stardew Valley? She goes, oh yeah, I'm addicted to that thing. Like, they just got this big update and they had like better crops. And I'm just like, I'm supposed to be working and she's talking to me for like 5-10 minutes about Stardew Valley. And I'm like, keep talking, Jane. Sure. Keep talking.
Sounds like one of my best friends as well. Like, he also is like very into Stardew Valley. It's for those who aren't aware of it, Stardew Valley is basically like you begin working as a day-to-day job, no escape, but then you take over this farm. And again, this is a farming game, which is very deep. There's also RPG elements like a la, what was that other Natsume game?
Harvest
but
Moon.
Yeah, like you got Harvest Moon, but also like the RPG spinoff. Man, what was it? Okay, I need to go look that up. But yeah, it's like also has RPG. You can fight monsters, but you can also use those monsters to actually help serve your crops.
Yeah,
is like again very reminiscent to Harvest Moon, but like
and you can get married, you can have kids. I mean, this is like one of the deepest games ever made, and now it's about to have multiplayer.
It's currently in quality assurance phase right now. Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, as if this game couldn't get any bigger. And it's just as a note, the Switch version came out on October 5th. So that shows how quickly that game shot to the top of the charts. And then, the number one best-selling game on indie game on the Nintendo Switch is SteamWorld Dig 2.
Impressive.
That's not really a surprise. I mean, let's be honest. When it was announced for Switch, I'm pretty sure people blew up. I know the internet blew up. So.
Yeah, and SteamWorld Dig 2, I haven't actually finished that yet. I liked Celeste more, but I still really enjoyed SteamWorld Dig 2. I need to go back and finish it. It's super good. It definitely deserves the love that it gets. I can't recommend it highly enough. And the best thing about a lot of these games is that they're cheaper than your normal, you know, Kirby Star Allies. So, like, you can buy a bunch of these really high-quality titles
and get
more entertainment sometimes, more hours of entertainment even, than you can get for higher-priced games.
Yes. And also, I finally remember now, is Rune Factory.
That's right.
Because I actually just remember reading another article on the interwebs, like, apparently indie games are doing far more better than compared to Steam currently right now. I think they sell like 6 times more better on Nintendo Switch than Steam
now. Just say better. Don't say more better. That's just bad English.
Bad grammar.
I'm a writer. I have to think about these things. No, actually, on that note, and I this was a story I forgot to write last week. We talked earlier about a couple podcasts ago about a game called Blossom Tales. So the game was released on Steam first, and it sold a grand total of like 60 copies, maybe. Or some, I think it was less than that. And so these guys were literally on the brink of, you know, having this shut down. But they bring it to the Switch, and they exploded. Like, the game sold, like, they think it said, like, 600 times better than it did on Steam.
They sold so much,
they're able to make another game now. Because they got enough from Blossom Tales. So, the Switch saves lives, people. The Switch saves dreams. One thing I want to know about this top 10 list is I'm just going to do a quick count. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, literally 5 games were brand new. SteamWorld Dig, Cameco, Celeste, Golf Story, NBA Playground. And then 5 other games, Stardew, Shovel Knight, Overcooked, Enter the Gungeon, and just probably whatever. It's like 5 and 5 and 6 or 4, something like that. You know, there is an old, there are old ports and there are new games, and people are buying them on the Switch regardless. Okay, like Stardew Valley is the best example because Stardew Valley's been out for a while, and Enter the Gungeon's the same. But like Shovel Knight, you know, that's an old game. But then you got Golf Story, you got Faster RMX, you got Celeste. It's awesome that all these games people are saying, oh, I haven't played that before. I love my Switch. Let's buy a game. So.
Right. And like, again, granted, you can't always, like, if you want to, you can definitely bring your laptop or a gaming laptop with you if you wish. But again, the Switch is, again, a much more mobile unit to actually play these games on the go. So I guess that's what will be the other appeal about it. Again, if, and especially if you haven't bought these games the first time, then yeah, opportunity arises.
Exactly right. So congrats to all the indie developers for the first year of Nintendo, and we hope that the second year goes just as well, because you know that if you put it on the Switch, there's a good chance you're going to make some good sales. Nintendo, holla. All right, moving on to some more mainstream games. Will, why don't you tell us about the Fire Emblem DLC we got recently?
This was when I wrote this article, and basically Famitsu showed off the first scans of the Awakening DLC for Fire Emblem Warriors. I guess I said that right. And showing off our characters of Olivia, Owain, and Darja, naturally. And from what I've seen so far, like, there has been some worries, to say at least. This was also brought up to me by Ty, is that these characters naturally feel like most likely become clone characters. From apparently what, like, I've done some research, Owain, Ty says, is possibly also be another Ryoma clone, which is kind of a shame, to say the least, because again, if you've seen Owain, his Chunibyo personality, if you don't know Chunibyo, please look it up. It's like, he's just an amazing character, to say the least, like, especially with his new sword and his Hand of Burning Darkness. I don't know. I remember reading one of the combos. It's, yeah, Owain would easily probably like benefit from a new play style. But if it's gonna be another Ryome clone, it just kind of feels like a shame, to say the least. Other characters we have is Olivia, I believe. Correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Olivia.
Yeah, because I don't remember the characters on the team of my head. My apologies. But yeah, Olivia, our second dancer, coming after Azora, and she definitely appears to be much more, I don't know, to see Olivia so active in battle, this is kind of an awkward thing, don't you think? I mean,
but don't,
again,
don't forget, in Heroes, she has a sword.
Right. Originally, she had a sword in Awakening. Right. So, like,
I agree, though. I mean, she's not like Azura. Like, you picture her holding her blessed lance, like, just from the cover art. With Olivia, she's definitely, like, she joins your party late, and she has no attack at all. She's just completely useless as anything but a dancer. And then, of course, Awakening is being what it is. You can level her up and make her as strong as everybody else. But I agree. She does feel kind of strange as a, you know, super combat unit.
Right. So, they're actually taking down these whole hordes. Like, wow, Olivia can actually face down these guys? Like, I don't know. Kind of uncharacter of her, but eh. Who am I to judge? Yes. And of course, naturally, my waifu, Darja, finally shown off here with her first screenshots. And one, let's get the bad news out of the way. Apparently, the news is going around right now that she's going to be a Robin clone, which...
I'm actually going to defend that, because think about it. I mean, like, literally think about it. This is Darja, okay, who's... loves Robin, stalks Robin, haunts Robin in his dreams.
Right.
Why not? I'm kidding entirely,
well,
but I'm just saying.
Because you're paying so much money for new characters, and you're getting a clone, and Robin doesn't even use, like, they could have done a whole dark magic exclusive moveset. It's just, it's laziness. That's what it is. I hate to say it, but
laziness. That's one thing I have to agree with you there, and that's kind of have to go critique regarding to Koei Tecmo, because Koei Tecmo, as you know, with the Warrior games, that is the one of their main criticisms, is that they reuse assets. Look at their Dynasty Warriors games or Samurai Warriors games. Heck, look at recent Dynasty Warriors 9. I mean, I want to support Koei Tecmo, but like, there have been times they are unfortunately greatly known to reuse assets, like even with their other games, again, as I said, Dynasty Warriors. And Yeah, even for the other things, even clearly, I think also they were no, that's Ninja Theory, but yeah, they also have a Hannon and like in the Dead or Alive series, but they've polished that up into other games. But yeah, Koi Tecmo, we're going to Omega Forces things is like, come on, I like you say you are fans, but you don't give them the time to actually like make it unique. I mean, sure, you can reuse assets, fine, but perhaps you can tweak it maybe just a little bit. I don't know. It definitely feels like it's not gonna be very. But again, we'll have to wait for gameplay first to see if the rumors are confirmed. So, and just to like wrap it up, we're going to all the DLCs. Like, there also gonna be new costumes for Crom, Lisa, and Cordelia. Crom donning his. I think it's like it's based on the CG cards. That's the Cypher cards. The Cypher cards that was based on the C the yes,
It looks a lot like
which.
Sigurd's outfit, actually.
Yeah, in a way, it definitely kind of does. Yes, Lisa's outfit. Well, I gotta give major kudos to them. I wrote in my article is Emrin's, her sister's outfit, which
It's Sage Alyssa.
would you say when it comes to style, she's really fallen for Emrin?
Oof.
Ah!
Too soon. Too soon.
Jeez, Louise. And yeah, Cordelia is in her Dark Flyer class gear, which not bad look on her. Definitely not bad look. And also they'll be adding more legendary mats based on the Awakening games, including else also including is new three more armor break models for Lucina, Lisa, and Cordelia, which again, it's armor break. What do we need to say?
I'm sure you could say a lot, but we won't let you. Hang on.
Again, like if you like the sporty outfits, then sure.
No bunny Kagero, right, Will? Moving on.
Don't start.
I don't, trust me, I don't. All right, so moving on to Splatoon. So on Sunday, I think it was, Nintendo revealed the release dates more or less for the next three maps. Now, if you recall, it's going to be Piranha Pit, Camp Triggerfish, and the all-new one, Wahoo World. Now, Piranha Pit is going to be coming before the end of the month, and at the time of this recording, it's the 22nd, so give or take a week. So that's going to be cool. Then there's going to be Camp Triggerfish, which I know is a fan favorite. It's going to be coming out at the end of April, and then, unfortunately, we're going to have to skip a month, and then on June, we're going to get Wahoo World, which I feel is intentional because of E3. But just, celebrate that. It's like, hey, after this presentation, Wahoo World is going to be available. And hey, you could watch a certain tournament that we're going to be talking about later. That kind of thing. But, that's going to be good. And then, when's 3.0 coming out?
Oh,
Like,
isn't
they say
that
like
April
in late April?
22nd?
I think
That's
late
right.
April. Yeah,
Yeah,
late April.
so by the time the 3.0 update, we're going to have at least one map, if not two, coming out close, and then you'll enjoy 3.0 for all of May, and then the new Wahoo World, and there's going to be more maps coming, because that's just how Nintendo rolls, and of course, in August, maybe we're going to get the Yoctowl expansion, so
Right,
pretty cool. And
right.
then, as if that was enough funny news from at GDC, the team talked about development for the game, and they revealed that the original concept for Splatoon did not feature squids and octopuses. They featured rabbits. Yeah. Now, to be fair, these were kind of cute looking rabbits, but I'm really glad they went with squids.
Yeah, I
Right,
mean, when you
because
think about it, right? Like, squids is kind of a weird idea too. So, like, maybe, the rabbits game would have worked out.
Oh yeah, well, that's
well.
one of the that'll be like one of the great what if questions. What if they had done it? Like, would you be bouncing off the walls instead of, inking up them? You never know. We won't know.
If I recall, yeah, recall correctly, because during the time when they were pitching the concept to Mr. Shigeru Miyamoto, like yeah, we did create it as bunny rabbits, like painting all this, like inking all everywhere, and but then Shigeru Miyamoto asked, why would bunnies be inking the place? Like why would they have any paint? Why be painting all this, especially with something like similar to a war gun pack? I think that was the main question that really like resounded with the team, like why would bunnies be painting? To say the least, that was the question that Shigeru Miyamoto like posed it to the team. So that I think that was like the turning point that instead of bunnies, that's when they chose to squids because squids and ink makes much more sense than rabbits and ink or paint.
That's wow. That's awesome. I'm glad to see that Shigeru, because Shigeru gets a lot of flack sometimes because of his, butting in and changing things like Star Fox Adventures.
Sticker Star and Paper Mario.
Yeah, Sticker Star, Paper Mario, yeah. And like, but this time it worked big time because, yeah, why not do squids? And I still remember the original Splatoon reveal and we're like, why am I looking at octopuses in an octaquarium? And it was weird, but it works. So, yeah. So that's pretty cool. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's see. I think that's it. So
There also was like a form art, because if you remember, it wasn't just the Splatoon 2 team that was also at GDC. Also, Mr. Yabuki was at GDC, also showing off like the first prototype models of ARMS. And if you've seen the screen captures of these prototypes, they looked like pretty much like normal human beings. They had no springs whatsoever. So like you see these like, I don't know, like if it was like Spring Man or like the first version of Spring Man is like, okay, like their arms are like beefed up, but nothing exaggerated like we have the current with the current product now.
Yeah.
But like seeing these, like, I don't know. Do you think these designs could probably work in the possible sequel, or they're gonna stick with the whole spring motif?
They've got to stick with the spring motif because that's literally the game. I mean, that's literally the point of arms, is that they have the springs. Or the belts, ropes, licorice, whatever stretchy thing they use for the characters. So, but I mean, they could get all even more creative, which would be a very impressive feat for the sequel, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, and but what I like about these stories, you know, the rabbits in, you know, Splatoon, the more human-like models and arms. Game development is a process, and I can speak from experience because I've worked on video games both in college and out, and it takes a long time. You might think, oh man, they've rushed this. I guarantee you very few games are ever truly rushed, because if they are, then the team just doesn't care.
But right, remember Breath of the Wild originally had aliens.
Oh yeah, I remember that. So there you go. And ARMS was just meant to be a fun prototype. It wasn't meant to be a big game, and now look how that turned out. Splatoon was a risk, and now look how that turned out. These teams put effort into their titles, and sometimes, yeah, it takes delays and whatnot, but, you know, it's a process, and so you never know what they were thinking originally, and it just because it may seem a little odd at the beginning, at the end, it could have been a whole lot weirder at the beginning. So I do want to say maybe Splatoon 3, bring in the rabbits, just see what happens. Let's see what happens.
That would be interesting, because again, like, I think that's kind of like the whole current trending meme right now. It's like, Avengers Infinity was the greatest crossover ever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And everybody just kind
of
like,
I did a couple of those. I did a couple of those because I couldn't resist. I did Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, that
was great.
And we had Mario and rabbits. So
yeah, Mario rabbits. I can't believe someone hasn't posted Archie and the Punisher, or Archie and the Predator. I mean, seriously, like,
yeah.
Trust me, ladies and gentlemen. As great as Infinity War is going to be, there's been.
There have been more better crossovers than came
better
before.
Is relative to the person, but the term was ambitious. And so, like, that I would honestly say Mario and Rabbids was a very ambitious crossover, because this is a beloved character with a not so beloved video game series that blew our freaking minds once it finally came. Or how about Smash Brothers?
That was
ambitious. That was never meant to come out of Japan. Iwata and Sakurai said, we can make this, but it's never gonna sell. You underestimate our desire for violence. So
sad, but
yeah.
True. That is,
yeah,
true.
So like, and it only grew as bigger, so you could argue that every Smash Brothers game is a super ambitious crossover. Brawl had Snake and Sonic. 4 had Bayonetta and Pac-Man and all of them. Who knows what we're gonna get in 5. Oh, speaking of 5, segue. smooth. Alright, Nintendo has revealed that for now the second year in a row, they are going to have some second year in a row, third year in a row.
Yeah, I think this is the second time they did now. Yes, this
okay.
is the second time, because Splatoon 2, they had.
Well, I remember last year, because that's what they showed in the video, but I thought there was one before that. Whatever. But the Nintendo World Championships are returning, and this year they're going to have two games once again gracing the stage. They will bring back Splatoon 2, featuring teams from Japan and Canada and US and I think Europe. So there's going to be like lots of good teams there. And then they're bringing in Smash for Switch. Somehow. Okay, now I lost it when I saw this because my first thought was, wait a minute, does that mean it's almost done? And then I thought about what an invitational really is. It literally means you're invited to the tournament, right?
Yes.
So
Right, right, right.
that means that Nintendo could literally have handpicked for the best, the players in this tournament. So that literally could mean nothing because if, like, let's say they've invited eight players and they wanted Mario, Luigi, Peach, Link, Pit, eight standard characters that we absolutely know are going to be in the game. They don't have to reveal anything. And because this is an invitational with, tournament on the line, these people are going to go into characters that they know and can work, right? Now, regardless of which version of Smash it is. So there's no need to say, well, are we going to see an Inkling? Because that wouldn't, more than likely, a person wouldn't be using an Inkling in a tournament of this magnitude, right? So as I was looking at the YouTube video, I saw a person go, oh, they're pulling a Smash 4 because this is a demo. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's probably going to be like, we'll see. Well, the most curious thing is if it's going to be a new game or not, but I feel confident that they'll have like 15 playable characters or something like that, and then they'll have, the All-Star Smash 4 best players come out, and then they'll probably have some E3 challengers like they did last year.
So, but yeah, I'm thinking that this is literally just gonna be a bare bones, like the Smash Brothers demo we had on 3DS. Standard characters, no one, no, maybe one reveal. Maybe if they do like a players at who are at E3, maybe they'll bring in the Inklings just to show them off. I don't know. But I'm like, IGN did an interview with Bill Trennan, who's a great guy, but the way he was talking, he was saying this is going to build up excitement for Smash for Switch, which again makes it sound like this is a true new game. And yet, I still can't help but thinking, why are you showing this off at E3 in this capacity? I mean, yes, it's hype, yes, it's a tournament, but it just still feels. I'm with you, Tyler. I'm still like, I'm leaning still more to a new game, but until I see, what it looks like, and that it's definitely not a port, give me at least two more character reveals. We won't know. So. And all every way they're talking about this says new game, but we just don't know. So,
Again, like the proof is in the pudding. Once we actually see official gameplay of this thing and running, then yeah, unfortunately, speculation is running high right now. So, like the only thing we can hope for is, as you said, like perhaps in like the next couple of months as we approach E3, like more character reveals, more trailers of like new characters. Heck, even just like the basic details. Heck, show us the tutorial for all I care.
Right.
And
Show us how it's gonna look.
right,
Because a lot
screenshots,
of, like, that actually, come to think of it, that reminds me of another great point. They specifically said in the trailer video for this tournament that, this is this for the footage being shown was from Smash Brothers Wii U. And everyone's freaking out, like, wait, that's the Wii U game. I'm like, oh yeah, no duh, they haven't released the footage for the new one. So that makes me think, like, maybe that's another point leaning towards a new game because obviously they have to update it visually. They can't just do a port and like have the same graphics because that wouldn't do it at all. So I don't know. It's so complicated. Now let me ask you this: yes or no, we're gonna have a direct reveal more about Smash Brothers before E3?
I
Yes.
have a feeling, yes, I have. I agree. I agree.
Well,
It's.
I think now it's necessary because you announced that the Smash for Switch is, gonna be one of these games. Because if you do the reveal at E3, which they could still do, it's Nintendo, they can do whatever the heck they want. But I feel like that's not that would honestly hurt the game just a little. Whereas if you do like the first true trailer, like say in May, get everybody ready for E3, then drop, a couple character trailers at E3, which would lead up to the tournament. Maybe even drop one during the tournament. Saying,
Yes,
oh, that's for
yes.
sure. That's
Yeah,
for sure.
that'd be huge. So that would be pretty cool. So I'm excited. I'm definitely gonna watch it this year just because I want to see how what Smash for Switch. Can I just say that that's a great like that flows. Smash for Switch. So.
Smash for Switch, Smash for Fish, Smash for Switch. Yeah. And then we
Eh.
kind of throw some tongue in the way. And yeah, if Reggie has, if the Video Game Awards shows any clue, Reggie can will definitely have something hiding it in his sleeve. I have a feeling. I
Here's
definitely have a
hoping.
feeling that's gonna do something with that.
Paris Open. Alright, well, as we move on, we're going to have a little bit of fun for the rest of this show. We're going to keep it with Smash Brothers for now, because as we talked about in the last few weeks, while we do want this to be a completely new Smash Brothers game, they still have some things they need to fix in the old one. And the biggest thing is character move sets for certain characters. So we are going to have a little fun and debate about what needs to be fixed. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time to settle it in Smash. So what we're going to do is we're each going to pick one character. One. Now, obviously, we don't know that these characters are returning. I think two of us are guaranteed to have returns. One is a little bit up in the air. But we're going to dissect why these characters need changes and what the changes are going to be. And I will start. And I am picking the character that absolutely needs a change. Mario. Kidding.
He does need to change, actually.
I agree.
I think Cappy needs to be in the game.
Yeah.
100%. I don't know if it'd be like his B down move. That'd be cool. You know, him just throwing the hat and like just hitting opponents with it. That'd be cool. But no, like Mario is more or less fine. Just make sure you add Cappy. My pick is Ganon. Ganon is a character that, oh my gosh, he is so frustrating because he has these moments of uniqueness. Like his final smash where he goes Pig Ganon and just rams you off the stage. That's great. I love that. The rest of his moveset is crap. Okay? He's a Captain Falcon clone. He has been since Melee. And this sucks because unlike Bowser, who is a completely unique character from top to bottom, Ganon is just a clone. This is one of the earliest Nintendo villains. This is one of the greatest villains in all of video game history. And he's a clone. Are you really telling me that you can't come up with a better moveset for the freaking Lord of Darkness, a magic user who's also a pig? Seriously, come on. So here's what I am thinking. First and foremost, utilize magic. Okay, this is a magic user. This is a guy who poisoned the dark Deku tree.
That's a
dark Deku tree. This is a guy who poisoned the Deku tree to die. Okay, from he just cursed the life out of him, and we all know how that went. So utilize magic. This is a guy who can make shadow clones. This is a guy who can create mirages and illusions of himself. This is a guy who can, you know, power up his... Now, I want to make it clear. I do want to keep the charge up fist just because I like hearing Ganon go, ah! You know, that's cool. You know, that feels like a Ganon move, but everything else can go. All right, so utilize magic. It could be, I don't know, his beat down move, he charges up like a dark pool of magic and like it ensnares someone, kind of like Ragna from Blaze Blue. I'm just saying. Then give him his sword. Okay, Ganon has a sword. Ganon also has a spear. Okay, this guy knows how to use weaponry, and in Hyrule Warriors, he dual wields swords like a freaking boss because that's what he is. Alright? In fact, he's a final boss. Suck it. So, you know, give him a sword. Now, unlike like Link or Ike or any of the Fire Emblem characters or other various sword users in the game, this would be a one move kind of thing. This would be like, get the heck away from me. He just pulls out a sword and he just slices maybe like a wide area attack, but then he has like maybe like Ike a slow recharge after that. You know, this is a guy that once got impaled by a sword, pulled the sword out, and it killed the guy who tried to impale him. So, yeah, he's got various swords in his arsenal. Use them. Another option, and I feel this might be a little over the top, but I want to see it anyway. Have him transform into old school Pig Ganon.
That would be cool.
Okay, so like now you'll keep the monstrous like Twilight Princess version of Pig Ganon as his final smash. That's cool. But I'm talking old school Link to the Past Ganon, where he's a pig with a spear that can float, you know? And he'll be a lot slower, but he'll also be a lot tougher. And so it'd be very much two different kinds of playstyles, and he'll use his magic, he'll fling his, you know, his trident spear around, and it would just be a very unique take on the character. I mean, yes, we have, in fact, it could kind of be a mockery of Zelda and Sheik, You know, it'd be a twisted version of that. So that would be kind of cool. You can either go for the, you know, light, not lightweight, but, you know, somewhat faster powerhouse, or you can go for the magical tank. It's your call. I would love to see that. So Ganon has options. You've featured him in how many freaking games? Okay? So, and actually, I'm gonna take that back. Instead of Twilight Princess Pig Ganon, for his final smash, go straight up Calamity Ganon.
I want to see
him transform into that, you know, what do you want to call him? The smoke monster from Lost? The smoke dragon, whatever you want to call him. I want to see the magic, like, explode out of his body, and then, like, an epic cutscene, he just goes, like, around the stage, and whoever he touches gets, like, massive damage.
Or how about even, like, probably go to this adventure and probably, like, once he gets his final smash, like, the original form comes out, he becomes Demise.
Ooh. I would like to see Demise. Oh, there's another idea. You know, incorporate Demise into it and have him shoot lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, with every single version of Ganon, which is, again, a mockery of every single version of Link, he's shown to have more power. Stop making him a clone. Stop it!
Own original character. Yeah, he's his own original. So please, give him some respect.
Exactly. That's the thing. This is all about respect. This isn't even about, you know, making a better fighting game. This is about respect. Respect for one of the greatest villains in the history of video games. Respect for a guy who is so BA that he literally cannot die. Again, if you know Zelda lore, you know why that's true. All right, this guy literally cannot die. He is eternal. He is immortal. He is Ganon. Stop making him a clone! Okay, I'm done. You can go now.
Again, good arguments again. Like, we've gone through so many games with Ganon as the clone of Captain Falcon. I mean, yeah, I think it's a bloody time. He has his own original moveset. He has way too much to offer and so much maturity based on other movesets that, yeah, it's just wasted just to make him as a clone of Captain Falcon.
No, yeah, I totally completely agree. He's had so many different iterations where he does so many different things. It's shocking that he hasn't gotten a change yet. And it's even more upsetting because he's always like a bottom tier character. Like,
because of it, more than likely.
Yeah, you would think that they would be like, well, let's just give this guy some awesome new moves to give him a new chance. But, you know, he's kind of been stagnant. That's a good pick. I'm taking a character who's been in since the beginning, since Smash 64. I'm going with Kirby.
Ooh.
Because Kirby, like Ganondorf, has had so many different games with so many different appearances and moves added since the original Smash. And yet, basically the same character as he was back then. I mean, they've added some changes and removed some changes. I loved his fire dash attack in Melee, and they took that out. For like his normal little spinning kick thing. I would love to see Kirby get redone, and I've got a perhaps too in-depth detail of how I would do that.
Oh, please do tell.
So the jab is going to stay the same. That's a classic. Like,
of course, you got to keep that one. That's classic.
Right.
Especially, he's pretty much pistol to North Star, basically.
Don't start. Don't.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get rid of that. But his forward tilt right now, he just like kicks. Right? Like, Kirby doesn't, he does his little slide kick, but he doesn't kick enemies in Kirby. So I'm giving him a sword slice from his sword power. So classic little shoosh. And, you know, maybe you could even have him shoot a little beam out of his sword like he does in his game when his health is full. That would be pretty interesting. Up tilt, I have from Water Kirby, where he squirts the water out of his head and he launches a waterfall upwards, kind of. I think that would be a cool little up tilt. Some quick little whoosh, to cover above his head instead of his current, like, he kicks above his head. Like, Kirby does not do that in Kirby games. Down tilt, I'm shouting out Bandana Waddle Dee, giving him a spear, have him do a nice little poke with the spear. Forward smash, right now Kirby does a powerful kick, which is, you know, it's a good move and all, but again, nothing to do with Kirby. I'm doing Beam Kirby. So you know how Waddle Dees, like, they shoot you with their eye and the beam does a little wee 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 wee. It goes like around
arc. Yeah.
I'm thinking make that Kirby's forward smash attack with the wand, have him cast the beam forward and do a little arc down to get some coverage there. Up smash. Right now he does a powerful flip kick over, and it's like a fox type of thing. I'm replacing that with the stone power up, where he does creates a fist out of the ground and has that pop out, kind of like Bayonetta smash. Now that I think about it, her up smash, just a powerful stone emerges from the ground and mashes into somebody. Down smash. I'm doing a hammer overhead strike. Kirby bashes down in front of him with the hammer. He already has hammer as part of his aerials and side specials now, but I think changing that to a smash attack makes a lot of sense, since hammer is one of Kirby's most damaging abilities. Then we have the dash attack, which is the ice slide. So if you have ice Kirby, you know, he runs and he goes and shoots ice. Yeah, so we do that, which would be pretty cool. And just a side note, I would love for Kirby's running animation, like after you use that power. So brief time out on the moveset. I think it would be really cool is if after each move you did, Kirby's head took the copy ability that you just used. So like if you just use the stone move, Kirby gets his stone headpiece that he has. So after you do a dash attack, I would love for Kirby's running animation to change to the skating animation that he
Yes,
does.
Yes. I would love that animation. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fun to move around. So I would
Or
love...
even the water animation where he literally surfs on water.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Exactly. If they had like those little cosmetic tweaks in there, and they don't even have to be cosmetic. Like they could actually have different effects. Like maybe when he's skating, he does a little bit of damage rather than his regular run. I mean, Kirby, again, he has so many different moves. There are so many different things that you could do. Back to the moveset. For his forward air, I have him doing the flying fighter kick, where he kind of dashes through the air and does like a powerful kick in one direction. The up air, I have him doing parasol, so he jumps up and he shoots up his little umbrella and it damages people above him, and he can gently float down, or he can put it away and attack with, or cancel that with like a standard aerial. His neutral air now is pretty cool, where he just spins around. I think he can keep that. And then his down air, break out the ninja ability and have him throw ninja stars. And again, like going back to the idea that whatever move you just used, Kirby has some of those powers. You could have him, when he has his ninja hat on, he could cling to the side of walls. Like
Right. That passive ability, right.
Like Diddy Kong.
I'm really impressed by how in-depth you're going with this. I am honestly...
He did warn us.
I know, but still, like, I appreciate... I'm not afraid to admit that my Ganon is some of them, like the pig Ganon transformation. I thought that on the spot because I thought that would be just really cool. But Tyler's like, I bet he's reading this off a list. All right?
No, I wrote this list down before the show. So.
That's what I said. You want to make sure.
Yeah. No, I don't want to miss anything. I put a lot of thought into Kirby's moveset because Kirby is that dude, and he deserves a revamped moveset. So his special would just be the classic inhale, which you can't get rid of that and take somebody else's standard special. Down special, you got to keep the rock, where he falls in the air like he does now. That's everybody's favorite move in the game, so you can't get rid of that. But side B, right now he does hammer. I have that being his down smash instead. So I think you add wheelie in there. I love the wheelie power. And it really hasn't been in – it's not in Star Allies at the very least. So you could have it kind of like a spin dash for Sonic almost, where he just, you know, goes wheelie and charges in one direction. And then his up B, Final Cutter, is great. So they could keep that, but I like Wing Kirby a lot, where he gets like the super cool headpiece and he can fly. So you do the up B and he could like soar up into the air and smash down in like a powerful killing strike. That maybe it's not as good as recovering as Final Cutter is, but it does a lot of damage. Then his final smash, I got him going into the Robobot from Planet Robobot. Instead, kind of like a Wario Man type thing, where he keeps his regular move, like he has his moveset. He doesn't do one singular move. It's a transformation that's on a timer. So he could add the Tornado Kirby moves in there somewhere. Maybe his up airs or up smashes or tornadoes. His spark, if you can charge up a giant spark in the other Kirby games by running around in a circle really fast. He could be his standard B, almost like Samus's beam, but probably way more powerful because it's a final smash and Kirby's spark is like super strong. And then down special, he could do bombs because you got to have bombs in there. You open up a compartment and have bombs shoot out. That is my complete Kirby moveset. redone. I could go on forever about this and come up with other things, because Kirby's had, like, gosh, 50 copy abilities over the course of his games. But, yeah, I mean, they got to take away some of his standard punches and kicks and really add that Kirby flair.
It's pretty good. And if you want the complete breakdown of Tyler's list, you can go buy it on Amazon. To search for a Kirby's moveset for Smash 5 by Tyler Kelba. Although I don't know why you charged $99.99 for that. I think that's a little much.
Listen, there's a lot of good information in there. I stand by the product.
Okay, fine. All right, Will, how about you?
All right, this one I'm going to go... I really can't think of any OG fighters right now, but this was actually brought to attention by another famous voice actor. So, you know, we always had Snake in Brawl, and ever since then, many people kind of wanted him to come back. I mean, Snake of Metal Gear, Kojima fame, like, he was definitely one, if not the icon, definitely one of the icons on the original PlayStation. Well, how about another representative from the Metal Gear franchise? And, well, I was basically roaming on Twitter, and who would have thought? Quentin Flynn, if you notice him, yeah, he says, like, he posted a tweet on his Twitter account and said, "You already had Snake for Brawl. Why not let the Ripper out in the battleground?" Yes, why not have Raiden, aka Jack the Ripper, in Smash Brothers? Okay, hear me out. I know that I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack because, one, like, why bring in another sword wielder and all that, like...
I'm gonna give you flack because we asked you to pick a character that was already on the roster, and you're giving us a new character, so there's your flack.
Well, sorry.
You can break the rules.
Break the rules. Yeah, sure.
Hey, you're a great this before we started the podcast. Like, I was just imagining, yeah, why not have Raiden to be represented properly in the true game of Smash? Because, again, we all know how all PlayStation All-Stars fell, and let's not talk about that nightmare, because that was just doomed to fail. But, yeah, like, Raiden to be represented here in Smash, and, like, the moves I can currently imagine right now is, like, basically as what they did in PlayStation All-Stars is based on the Revengeance model, which Platinum Games has. I gotta give props to Platinum Games. They made that game just absolutely amazing. So, like, in regards to, like, movesets, like, I was basically regarding to thinking, like, for example, like, up B, he could definitely use one of his of the use of the Metal Gear. Like, as you know, like, Snake uses, like, one of the scout gears as a recovery. I was thinking, like, he could probably do something similar with going to, like, one of the flying units that appears in Metal Gear Revengeance. Regarding to, like, the side B, I can only imagine as his, like, local stinger move, because I was actually thinking of, like, if Capcom, for some crazy reason, brings in Dante, allows Nintendo to use Dante of Devil May Cry in this game, then okay, then that may be something. But again, we have Marvel vs. Capcom, but so I won't go on to rub into that. So moving on. So yeah, his, like, Raiden side would definitely be his a good old classic stinger move, because he's definitely way of Bushido. Just, again, even though he's calls himself a cyborg ninja, he followed a lot of the trials of Bushido, which had kind of a little debate there. But moving on. So yeah, his side beast is his local stinger move. His, like, down B, I know it's kind of maybe. That kind of, like, weakens us. Why bring another sword argument? Like, his down B is definitely not his natural parry move. I know we have Fire Emblem. He has this counter. Like, Fire Emblem characters have counters, but that's kind of the one thing that really does well with sword characters. Like, again, the ability to counter. Like, yeah, we have Cloud has his charging up his limit breaks, but I feel that, like, Raiden's ability to parry, it was definitely one of the main important aspects of Revengeance, so I feel like it could probably be represented well as, like, yeah, a parry slash counter move. And for his final smash, like, okay, compared to PlayStation, which basically he hides, that all his opponents hide in cover boxes, which, kind of a waste of a final smash, I was thinking as, like, similar to Wario, he becomes Jack the Ripper. His limits becomes unleashed, he becomes basically red, and yeah, basically let Jack the Ripper out of his cage. I mean, sure, maybe a bit more buffed up, like a la Wario Man, but being Jack the Ripper and just going facing off against Cloud, Link, Sword characters or even other Nintendo characters, I feel like having Jack the Ripper come back in a to be properly represented in a Smash game just feels, I don't know, kind of like also gives that message that Nintendo is open to maybe a bit more of the mature side of things, I feel like. So have Jack the Ripper come back, or even possibly have, like, as an assist trophy, have the IF prototype or the canine units as an assist trophy. I don't know. Is this just one of the crazy ideas that since I've seen Quentin Flynn put the idea of having Raiden and Smash Brothers? I mean, why not? I mean, heck, we had snakes. So, I mean,
don't forget Bayonetta. I mean, Bayonetta was mature too.
So why not? So I mean, again, that's naturally up to in the air with Konami's up for game for it. And hopefully we won't get other sword characters. I mean, again, I'd be very surprised if Capcom allows Dante, but or other like characters in the roster of similar caliber. Because I imagine that Raiden is definitely kind of a bit of a mix between Bayonetta and Cloud. That's what I'm thinking right now. So I don't know. It definitely is just one of those ideas that it's crazy, but it could work. It could work.
I would say that on the topic of Dante, Dante should not be in Smash Bros. Unless they bring the Devil May Cry Trilogy Remaster to the Switch.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like I said, there was when ScrewAttack did their top 10 thing, they just like, oh, there's no rules in Smash Bros. There is one rule. There is only one rule, and that is every character that's ever been in a Smash Bros. Game has been on a Nintendo platform. Dante has not been on a Nintendo platform at all. So if they bring the Remaster Trilogy, I will allow it because that's what they did with Bayonetta. Yes, I know Bayonetta totally became a Nintendo's exclusive, but this would be, you know, Snake has never been an exclusive, and he's been in the freaking game. So, if you bring Dante to the Switch via his trilogy remaster, or, I don't know why they would do this, but just bring the next potential game in the Devil May Cry series, I will allow it. But he has to be on Nintendo platform first.
Correct, that is rule,
that is law. So, alright, so with two of us actually following the rules, and, well, cheating, we're going to move on to our final thing, which is this Smash Brothers Splatoon 2 news has really gotten us excited for E3, and even though we're still a couple months away, we're really excited for it, and we're really hoping that Nintendo really cashes in on the potential that this massive event is going to have. So we're going to reveal some of what we feel needs to happen in an Nintendo countdown. Alright, so each of us have three, uno, dos, tres, things we want to see at E3. And Tyler, how about you go first? What's your top three things you want to see from Nintendo at E3 2018?
Well, first of all, let me just say how nice it is to be talking about E3 again, because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it feels like it just happened because last year's was so great, but in reality, we are like 3 months away from E3, a little less than three months away.
Less, yeah.
So I'm definitely just one super excited for the event. So the first big thing I want to see, not to, you know, hammer away at the Smash Bros. Theme, but I definitely want to see a lot of what they have in store for Smash Switch. I want to see why it's different from the other Smash Bros. Games. I want to see great new character reveals. I want to see new game modes that they're adding in. Sakurai said he's been working on this for about 2.5 years, so I want to see what he's got up his sleeve. That's definitely just the number one most important thing that I want to see. The second thing I want to see is Pokemon and Metroid footage, because those games were announced last year. You know, I'm sure that the development teams are working hard on them, and at this point, I would hope that they have something to show us. I want to see what they look like running. Maybe we don't. I don't even need like the games to be playable at E3, but I want to see what these games look like. I want information on them, similar to Smash. I want to know what these new gameplay additions to the Pokemon franchise are. I mean, one of the biggest things with that one specifically, to me, is you've always had to buy two different versions of Pokemon games. So you didn't have to buy, but you and your brother would get different ones so you could trade.
True, people like myself got every version. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. You could definitely get every version, and you had a reason to. With Pokemon Switch, you're going to have all sorts of different save files that you can open up. Like in other Pokemon games, you could only have one save file. Maybe one or two. I think it's only one though.
No, it's only one.
Right. Okay. Even for X and Y.
Yeah, and Sun and Moon.
Yeah. Okay. So with the Switch, you have unlimited save slots, which definitely, yeah, which definitely, well, like Mario Odyssey, you can, you know, you can reboot whatever version of the game you had played. Like, they have a ton of different, and same with Breath of the Wild, you can go back as far as you want in your playthroughs. I feel like that kind of changes the way you approach a Pokemon game, because now, you know, there is no incentive to buy the second copy outside of to get new Pokemon. So, like, if you were going to buy Red and Blue, you know, younger brother gets one, older brother gets one. That way, the younger brother doesn't delete the older brother's progress. Well, the Switch kind of changes that. So, I want to see if they're still going to stick with the two separate versions, which I know would be crazy if they didn't. It sounds crazy if they didn't, but the Switch definitely changes that. So, I want to see how they plan on adapting the tried and true Pokemon series to a console like Switch. And Metroid's the same way, although it's easier to see how they'll adapt that. You know, it doesn't really have to change a whole lot. But I want to see, you know, what I want information on those games and that stuff that gets me excited for them, whether they're coming out this year or not. And then finally, this is kind of a weird one. It doesn't have to do with any games. But you remember last year they had the whole Mario Odyssey decked out setup?
Yeah,
I love that so much, and that got me really excited for the game. I would love for them to have that sort of incredible booth presentation that they've had in the years past, even though I don't get to go to E3. I just love seeing it, and it generates so much hype from people who are at the event, and that hype generates or spreads across the interwebs, and it really puts Nintendo in a good spot. I mean, Nintendo's displays last year was just incredible, and I would argue that it was a big reason why people got so excited for Odyssey. It was just so well set up. So if Pokemon is coming out this year, I think that would be a perfect thing to just have a super cool World of Pokemon set up at E3. And if it's not coming out this year, you can do it with Smash Bros, where you have different exhibits for the different character or the different series and have everything well represented. I just love that clean visual presentation. I think that does a lot of good, even if you're not at the event. I think it has a huge effect, and I would love to see them kind of double down on that incredible display they had last year.
Agreed. Agreed. That was really fun. And of course, they had a Jump Up Superstar playing in the background.
Yeah. Right, that was great.
And
that was
I'm
great.
Still mad they didn't win a Grammy.
It wasn't right.
It's no respect for Nintendo.
Who won this year? Like Adele?
Who cares?
Did Adele win? Probably.
Who cares? It wasn't Mario. We don't care. That's not fair. I'm sure some well-deserving artists won. We're probably going to get sued by the Grammys now. But you have failed this Nintendo fan base. You had one job. Give him at least a nomination. It was a great song. It did well on iTunes. It was a video game song. How often do you see that happening? Kingdom Hearts
Never.
Aside. No, Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. So. All right. Will, how about you? What's your top three? Or what's the three things you want to see from Nintendo at E3?
The things that I kind of want to see from Nintendo, again, is like, it feels like they're doing definitely an age of revival. Again, last year we had Metroid Prime 4 teaser. Now, with this recent direct, we have the Smash Switch. I definitely feel like there's kind of that running trend that they're going to try to revive things back from the dead. So I have a feeling right now is like, one of the things I'm kind of expecting is they will revive something back from the dead, because again, they're sitting on many IPs that have not been back for years. Again, a la Golden Sun, F-Zero, like there's all these ideas they're sitting on there and still not being made yet. So that's what I feel like they're going to be doing at this year's E3. They're going to be reviving back something again this year, because again, that's kind of the best way to continue with the theme of like continue to switch units, bring back something from the dead and everyone will go nuts. That's what I feel like. Heck, even a teaser, like what they did with Metroid Prime. So, like, yeah, just announce it that we are making it. Don't worry, we have listened to your concerns. We have, like, where's the next new Earthbound game? Where's the new F-Zero game? We hear you. And therefore, here's a little teaser to confirm it to ease your worries. So
I'm sorry, but if they did make another Earthbound game, no one is going to believe it until they actually have it in their hands.
It's true.
I mean, let's be honest here. They made a Robot Chicken video burning a fan alive about Mother 3. Okay? Does Nintendo care? I don't know. I don't know!
They do and they do not. That's all I can say. They do listen and they do not listen. That's the Nintendo way. It's always a Nintendo thing to do. They always do. So yeah, that's the first thing. Bring another age of revival. The second thing I feel like that I really want to see is, again, like, not really surprising, it's just, again, continue to show the gameplay. Like they I think they pretty much learned the lesson of, again, like, showing off the trailers, the treehouse demonstrations. Again, continue to show off the gameplay of these games. Like, just to kind of piggyback off, like Ty said, like, if they have any, like, new details, heck, even gameplay trailers of Metroid Prime 4, heck, even if it's during alpha phases, I'll take it. At least we know it's in progress, and like, have Samus returns, like, all these different gameplays, like, and even like the titles that they will announce at E3, then, and show gameplay that these games are in working condition, or just, again, as I said, as in alphas. Continue to do so. Continue to show off gameplay. Continue to keep us excited about it. Like, there was many times when, like, when we hear that how would Mario and Rabbids play would play, Mario and Rabbids would play, we see it on the Treehouse demo. We loved it. Continue to show us off. Continue to ease our worries. Just see gameplay. That's what I like. What we like to continue to see. As we're going to the third thing that I would like to see, like, yeah, from gameplay present. Gameplay revivals to just, again, simple gameplay. I feel like that's one. I have one more thing that I feel that they should really knock out of the park is, I guess the one thing I'm just kind of still a little worried about, and I'm pretty sure they'll probably explain it, like, even after E3, is regarding to perhaps even showing details of the new internet service. Because we only, like, been hearing sparse details about, like, what the service will include. So I have a feeling that's gonna be a major focus at this E3, hopefully, if not soon after. But, like, the internet service that I feel is that I have to nail it down. Because we, with the current competitors right now, Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus, like, if Nintendo can really steal away the competition with what they're offering at a lower price rate, as and including with the service they provide for the upcoming games like Smash Brothers, like Mario Tennis Aces, all these online games, and have the same quality of the current market, if not even better, then I think that Nintendo can really steal a big part of the online community right there. It's like, show off, like, the internet interface, like, or show even details of it, like, show off, like, furthermore, because we heard, like, probably gonna give us discount on these virtual console games. Which, again, they could definitely continue to expand upon. So that's what I feel that they can definitely do a big opportunity is definitely finally show off details of the online service or just really put us at ease. Because, again, like, currently right now, I think if we have expanding quality, like, it's really a big tie between Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus. So if Nintendo could really, like, sell us on this, then yeah, I think that's going to continue for the same with the Switch. So that's what I believe this coming E3. That's what I'm looking forward to at E3.
Yeah, I agree with the online service. That was my big thing in the beginning of the year. They definitely need to unveil that. I mean, I kind of hope that they unveil that before E3 so that it doesn't take away from the awesome games and it's not like this dark cloud hanging over the event. But if they don't have it by then yeah, they really need to knock it out, like, and sell us on it.
Yeah. All right, my number three is something that I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't mention, Tyler. I want my Fire Emblem trailer.
It was too obvious. That's why I didn't say it.
Great obviousness. You say it 'cause you're loyal. All right, but seriously, I want my gosh dang mother frickin' Fire Emblem Switch trailer. We were told about it over a year ago. We have not heard from it for over a year. If I have to wait for E3, fine, but you better give me the best gosh dang Fire Emblem trailer that's ever been conceived, okay? I'm talking grand scale, better than Fates, which was very impressive. The trailer, not just the game. I want grand scale, I want story details, I want first looks at many of the characters, the villain of the game. I want images. I want teasers. I want at least 2 minutes dedicated to what makes this Switch game special. Or, sorry, I should say Fire Emblem game special, other than it's on the Switch. I demand answers!
I think
I
we all
demand
demand
it!
Wait, I'm getting a message from Invader Zim. I have a mighty need!
Like, I'm only imagining, like, again, like, I think the Yes, like, please clarify me, for I'm a pleasant plebeian, but isn't, like, currently right now, the best fire ingredient currently right now is indeed Path of Radiance?
It depends on who you
ask. It's subjective.
Path of Radiance is definitely top tier. It's my favorite fire.
It's my favorite. It's what got me into the series. But, I mean, I also played Sacred Stones, which I loved. I liked Awakening. I liked Fates. I loved Shadow Valentia.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
But as with all things, it's a subjective thing. You
Conquest
know?
Gameplay was the best. Path of Radiance's story was the best. And Awakening's characters are my favorite.
There you go. So, see, I wouldn't agree with all of that, but... That's just because we're two different kinds of players. So I try not to do the whole, you know, like, what's the best because of that, because three different players will like three different kinds of games, as we have proven in past and in 10 countdowns, like with our Mario countdown. So
right. There
you go. Number two, and I think this one's important because of what happened last year, and I mean this in the good way, the Nintendo Treehouse. Okay.
When me and
Tyler were watching, okay, we were already hyped to hype something, you know, because of everything that was shown in the main presentation. Then we get to the treehouse and they start off, you know, kind of slow, and then Reggie comes on and we're like, oh, hey, look, Reggie's here. He goes, we have one big announcement. I'm like, oh, snap, what are they going to do here? And it's Metroid Samus Returns. Are you kidding me? You know, they saved this for the treehouse, and then they did the Mario and Luigi plus Bowser's Minions reveal, which was also pretty cool, and then they showed the Rabbids gameplay, which helped blew everyone's minds about the title. Okay, the Treehouse matters, and last year really, really proved that it matters. So Nintendo really needs to make sure that the Treehouse has at least two or three surprises that they don't put into the, let's be fair, like 25-minute digital presentation that they do. Okay, because it was really cool. Me and Tyler were freaking out about Metroid Samus Returns. Tyler was really freaking out about Mario and Luigi plus Bowser's Minions. And then, I don't know why, but he like screamed like a girl about Sushido. I'm kidding. No, you didn't. He did. I was like, dude, calm down. It's sushi. I love sushi, Tyler. No, he didn't say that.
To be frank, I do love sushi myself. Yeah.
Shut up, Will. No, but, you know, last year I have never watched the Treehouse, like, with the exception of the one time they did Breath of the Wild, like, 2 years ago, because I wanted to see that. And then I watched a little bit about Pokemon Sun and Moon, you know. But I've never really watched the Treehouse because I never really felt it was important. Mm. Last year proved it can be important. So, especially with, you know, Smash Brothers. I would love a Smash Brothers trailer to be in the Treehouse. That would be awesome. I would love, you know, if they are going to announce more 3DS games, announce them in the Treehouse and save the digital presentation for the Switch. You know, divide it up so that you can have time for both all the important announcements while still doing, like, all the gameplay trailers and, you know, videos that we know and the dev interviews that we know we're going to get. Okay? Balance it out so that you, because Nintendo dominated that day. I'm sure there were another announcements, but I don't remember them because I didn't care because Nintendo was dominating. Okay? And that's the, if they want to have another dominating E3 presence, you kill it on the digital presentation with the teasers and all that stuff, but then you kill it on the Treehouse by making people tune in by saying, hey, we got stuff you're going to want to watch, so pay attention to the Treehouse.
Basically, hide bombs.
Yes, hide the bombs and blow our minds over and over and over again. I don't know if I say this is number one. I think the Treehouse and Fire Emblem are, you know, just as important. But as important as it is to bring back old franchises, I do think they need to announce something new, like a new Nintendo IP. Because the last one we got was ARMS, but that was, you know, let's just be generous, maybe 2 years in production, maybe. I mean, it was announced last January, so that's, you know, a year and 6 months at least. So I don't know. I really feel that they should keep up. They've said they're working on new IPs. They have confirmed this. They've said they're working on more IPs, and they've proven between Splatoon and ARMS that they can still make great IPs and that people will buy this stuff because they want to see new ideas from Nintendo.
Can you say retro?
I'm getting to that. That's going to be my honorable mention. So they need to show a new IP. Now, I'm not saying that this new IP needs to be in Smash Brothers. That's another topic entirely. But this new IP needs to be announced. It needs to at least be teased. Okay? Like, remember, we weren't sure about Splatoon when it was first teased. You know, okay, it's kind of cool. And then they built it up over the year. We weren't sure about ARMS when it was first announced. And then they built it up and we loved it by the time it came out. And, you know, Tyler's greatest game of all time. But,
Celeste has ever taken it.
That's fair. I will allow that. I will allow that. I will now. I like that. That's a good recovery, Tyler. I like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But you know, give us a teaser at the very least. Say, hey, we got a new IP. It's being made by one of our development teams. Here it is for you. I don't care what genre. I don't care what it is or what it isn't. Just give us something at least brand new to look forward to, so we have no expectations. Because that's the one danger about Pokemon, Fire Emblem, F-Zero, and any of them, is we're gonna have expectations. But if you show us something new, we can't have expectations, because we didn't know what to expect from Splatoon. We didn't know what to expect from ARMS, truly. And then we played them, and we loved them. So give us that. Honorable mention, where the heck is Retro?
Maybe where they're working on that new IP.
Potentially. Potentially, we don't know. So we need to hear from Retro. All right.
Yeah, how cool would that be if they announced a new IP, right? And then they show off that game, and then the screen goes dark, and then you hear that main character's voice if they have one.
Yeah.
And then they say what is that? And then they turn around and
no, they're not going to do it in Smash Bros. They're not going to do it in Smash Bros. Think about it. I mean, they I don't think Splatoon's a good example, but they're going to wait. Like, I honestly, as much as I would like to see Springman in ARMS, I'm not sure that he will be in the main game, depending on when they release it, but I could see him as DLC.
I could definitely see him as an assist trophy, too.
Ooh, or assist trophy, that's good. I could see that. I could see. Alright, so with that, we are going to end this 75th anniversary episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What are you looking forward to at E3? In fact, Tyler, what was the result of our poll question last week?
Oh, that is a great question. Sorry, I don't have Twitter open right now.
Wow, at the first you have that. You've been right on top of me. It's like you've known when I was about to say it and you had it ready.
I know. I don't know why I was slacking this time. I was looking. Yeah. I was following the scores of the basketball game for a second.
Yeah.
Do leaks help the gaming industry? 36% of you said yes. 64% of you said no.
Ha ha.
So most said no, but I'm surprised at how many people said yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people just like hearing leaks.
Yeah, like, true.
For them, the knowing is better than the teasing.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. True.
So for this week, let's do what is more important to see at E3? New IP, returning IP, anything Smash Bros. No, I'll take that back. So, new IP, old IP, jaw-dropping surprise. That's better. Because that's different. Because, you get an F-Zero return, that's pretty cool. But if you get the thing that no one sees coming, like a Cloud in Smash Brothers, like, I don't know, like Metroid, I suppose, or Pokemon for Switch, give us a jaw-dropping surprise. So
Yeah.
All right. So vote on that, and we'll let you know how it goes next week. So again, we thank you for joining us today. We hope you've been enjoying the last 75 episodes, and as we start counting down to episode number 100, or maybe the wonderful 101.
Aww.
Kidding. What, nothing from Will? Really? Where's my Kamiya fan? Come on.
Hey, I mean, I would definitely love if Kamiya would definitely make an appearance at E3 myself, because again, he also does support the Switch, and we have Bayonetta 3. Perhaps we'll see Bayonetta 3. Perhaps maybe a possible 1-on-1 Switch port. Again, maybe. We'll see what Kamiya does. We'll see what Kamiya does.
But anyway, well, again, we thank you for listening to us over these 75 episodes. We hope you'll continue to do so as we count down and go forward with all the Nintendo news. So, Telly's Tyler and Wario Will. I am Terry Force Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of the lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise a flag.